What's up, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What's good? What's good, y'all? It's Marcus or Pink.
What up? What up? It's Charles or Chuck.
What's going on, everyone? You got Haz or Matt. What's happening, everyone? No real tournaments happened last weekend, so we can kind of just plow forward and start talking about.
Right.
What up, everyone? MomoCon. I'm just kidding, obviously. Congratulations to our very own Big Gav. Taking the tournament down, doing an amazing job all weekend, beating some players who were playing hot. We'll get into that. We'll talk about mostly MomoCon. We'll talk about Gommel. I'm thinking MomoCon because it's coming up this weekend. Big winner, Gommel. Big Gav. We'll talk about Gommel this week. And then for the Patreon content, Gavin, Charles, and I, and friends, will be recording a lot of random shit, actually, at MomoCon, and we're going to upload it in there, including Charles and I will do our best to get all of Gavin's off-stream sets and record them and upload to the Patreon. So if you guys want to see what we get up to at MomoCon, it's going to be a very, very fun time. Very fun event. We're all very excited to go. Let's toss it around, man. How you doing, Marcus?
Bro, I am giga tired. Stace's in Vermont for like a work trip. She's like speaking at some child welfare convention or something like that. Which means Psalm is just home, bro. He does not go to sleep without her. And it has been brutal. It's only 2 days, or really it's 2 nights, 3 days, 2 nights. But like, dude, it's tough. Anybody who's experienced this knows, like, if you can't get your kid to go to sleep, it's just, you're just sitting there stressed. Like, they're crying, and like, I'm trying my best. Like, I mean, I'm trying, like, it, doing anything I can. Like, it's just not, it's fine, man. So I'm super tired, but life's great. I mean, it's cool, but I'm just mad tired. That's all. What's going on, Chuck?
I'm chilling. I'm excited for MomoCon. Flight's gonna be a little long. Hawaii to East Coast is brutal. I know. I know Gavin's done that one a couple of times. I am fortunate enough that the event got me a one-way trip. So shout outs to MomoCon and PB&J.
Nice.
So that's going to be dope. I don't have to transfer or whatever. I think it's total a little over 8 hours, maybe like eight and a half. So not too bad as long as one.
A direct flight.
Direct
flight.
Well,
you
said
one way. Like, bro, how are you getting home? I was so confused.
Oh, one way. Direct, yes. Yeah, I'm just moving to Atlanta. See ya, Hawaii.
Atlanta Chucky. I like it. Sorry.
But other than that, it was a really fun time watching Gommel. Shout outs to T.O. Joe and Max, of course, always, you know, running that tournament for so long. I mean, this was the 10th iteration, 10 years. That is a huge milestone, huge milestone. So I wasn't there, but it was super fun to watch the event. Both Melee and Ultimate was very fun to watch. The event looked very well ran. So, yeah. Plus, they had the boat party. So, W. Looks like the event overall, W. And I hope we get many more Gommels to come. What about you, Gavin? How was winning the whole thing? And obviously, we'll get into your bracket room. But how have you been, you know, the lead up, the before going there, after coming back?
Yeah, I was playing a lot and streaming a lot before I went. Toronto's always nice. I feel like the food is always like, there's a lot of variety and it's always like really good every time I go to Toronto. Like, I don't even have to try that hard to find good food. So that was great. And like I've probably said in the past, like, Max and Joe events like make my life a lot easier. It always feels like home, regardless if it actually is or not. Like, whether it's like Jersey, New York, or if it's like the Miami tournaments, or if it's Gommel, like, it always just feels like home. So we had a good weekend. B had a good weekend as well. She was going to go to Gommel, but I don't think she is. She's really tired from, or she was going to go to MomoCon, but she's really tired from Gommel. So it might just be me going to MomoCon.
Nice.
Yeah, you got the EMG power up, bro.
Yeah.
Back to back.
Good time. You said it well, Charles. Like, Turbo, shout outs to Max and Joe. Like you say, Gavin, their tournaments, they just have this kind of vibe about them. And I said this too. I was like, this is the most FOMO I've felt about an event in a long time. Like, just where I'm at in Smash, like, I'm not going to as many events as I used to. And usually I'm pretty okay with it. Like, I got a lot of shit to do at home anyway, and I stay busy, and I watch the tournament, and that's usually enough. But damn, not this weekend, dude. Seeing everyone upload pictures, all the good food, great places in Toronto. It's the 10th one. You've won the thing, man. Feeling the FOMO 100%. So we could definitely get into a little gommel talk here around the horn, but I think it's just easy enough to open up with Gavin, man. Why don't you talk about your gommel 10 tournament experience, reigning champ. How do you feel about it?
Boy, before you get into the run, why don't you tell the viewers your history with gommel? Because you've won many gommel events, to my understanding. So why don't you give them a little bit of insight? Some history, you know, some gommel history.
I've been going to gommel since Smash 4. I don't think I won it in Smash 4 at all. I don't know if I even went to that many, but I went to at least one. So it's been a long time. Like, you know, I've been attending that event for a while. I won an ultimate event for gommel in 2019, I think it was.
The first one, right? The first ultimate gommel, I believe it was.
I think it was, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I've missed some. I know I missed at least one ultimate gommel because there was still like COVID quarantine stuff and not everyone was sure what was going on or something like that.
It was Haz's wedding.
Oh, it was Haz's wedding.
We did miss that one. Yeah, Max hasn't hired me for a gommel since I took you and Mars away from that one, so I don't know if that's connected or not. So,
oh yeah, wasn't that Grants? You and Mars for 2019?
For 2019.
What character did you use to win the tournament, Gavin?
I was going to say, you went...
I went Wario versus everyone but Tyler.
And you went Roy against him, which I was tight, bro.
Roy.
I went Roy versus him because it's a good matchup. It still is to this day. Funny enough,
Iron Picking was also
Mars
just
actually
more
beat Cola.
He did beat Cola.
Mars that was one of the better sets of the weekend.
It was. Yeah, it was a good one.
That might
yeah.
be an understatement. It's probably a lot of people's, like, it's probably
the best. I think it has the most views on YouTube right now for Ultimate, yeah. period, which is great. I mean, they're both explosive, so, but yeah.
So there's another Zero Suit Roy gommel set. But yeah, Wario had a hard time. I had a hard time with Wario Zero Suit in the beginning of Ultimate, and I still think Zero Suit is favored. But yeah, that was the first one I won. That was a good weekend. And then I won a gommel event during quarantine, like their big, like, online gommel. And that was with all Diddy Kong, I believe. And then, yeah, then I won this one this weekend, which was all Diddy. Honestly, don't know how I did it, not gonna lie. There's a lot of dangerous matchups nearby, let's just say that.
I saw Syrup was on a run and that you guys were on a collision course, and I was like, oh shit, here we go.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Syrup was scary. That's how I was feeling.
Yeah, Syrup had to play Shattuck. And that one you would have expected to go, like, maybe you would have predicted. I would have predicted Shattuck, just history matchup, whatever. But Syrup just 3-0'd, so I don't think that was very expected. I don't think anyone's, like, super shocked that Syrup won the set, but it's more so, like, a 3-0 is a little shocking. And then Syrup had a close game 5 with DaBuzz and won, which is interesting because at Cirque, DaBuzz was up 2-0 on the Steve, and then he went Ness and took a couple games, and then they had a close game 5. So they've been going back and forth, apparently. So yeah. Syrup is actually probably the Steve I practice with the most. So the weirdest thing for me going into it was a lot of the stuff I was learning for Steve was against Syrup, so I wasn't sure if that was a good thing or if that was a bad thing. You know what I mean? Like, if it was going to make the match go better or worse or neither, like, how ready is he for, like, some of the stuff I'm going to do? And, like, sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But, yeah, that was the weirdest part. It was, like, the first time I was queued up to fight Steve since, like, learning or, like, practicing it really heavily was against the person I was practicing it with. So that was concerning.
Dude, I'm not going to hold you. I was sitting there watching, I was like, Gavin has to play Hoot Chunky next. It's like, Gavin has to play Cosmos next. Like, no flame card, but like it hasn't been close in like a year, maybe even longer, since not even this Genesis, the Genesis before. So I was like, next. bro, it said you had to play syrup. I was like, oh gosh. And then I was like, you know what? He's been going a lot of Diddy Kong. Like, let me see where his mental is.
Yeah.
When he goes into the set. Cause I was like, there's like, it looked like it was a Diddy Kong weekend. Like for some reason, I didn't talk to you at all. People kept asking me, hey, is he planning to play Sephiroth? I was like, I don't know, but I don't think so. He looks very comfortable.
You were right. Yeah, yeah.
You look very comfortable. And I mean, if he goes down 2-0, we might see it, but like, that's it, right? But then I was like, if he beats Syrup, isn't he just guaranteed grands? Because by that point, Riddles had already beaten Sonics. And I was just wondering, like, do you think about stuff like that? Like, all you have to do, because you're favored against Riddles.
Yes.
And you're like, this is like my roadblock. It's Steve. Like, it's been, does that like weigh into like your mental going into a set like that?
I guess to be like pretty blunt about it, I knew that grand finals for me was me and Syrup. I knew if I beat Syrup, I win the tournament. I knew if I lose to Syrup, I lose the tournament. Simple as that. If I didn't win that set versus Syrup, I wouldn't have won the tournament. It sounds like I don't have confidence in myself. I'm not. It's not impossible, but it was very likely if I beat Syrup, I would win the tournament. So that, that was really important. There's always a big set in top eight that changes the tone of it more than any other set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I think that's interesting though, because you said maybe reflects poorly on your confidence, but I think a piece of that is the opposite too, because know the most likely person that if you get through to Grand's winner side, 90% chance or whatever, it's going to be Sonics. You know what I mean? I feel like you've got to be feeling pretty strong mentally to say, if he makes it to Grand's, I feel confident in beating Sonics, right?
Yeah, so that's how I felt about it. So I predicted, after I beat Syrup, I predicted I would play Sonics in Grand Finals.
Yep.
And in my head, it's kind of more of a respect thing to Sonics. In my head, if the positions were reversed, I don't think I could win. But to give myself some respect, I don't think Sonics could beat me in two sets in that situation. So I think if he was in winner's side, it would have been much harder. But because of the situation and because Sonics lost earlier to Riddles, I just thought it was favored towards me.
Fair.
And it's just momentum of how a tournament works. Like, sometimes it's not as much about matchups or head-to-heads or anything. It just, you know, I was in the winner's side and I was fortunate enough to be in that situation. And I knew, like, I had to make the most of it. And, you know, I feel like Sonics was playing in a way where he knew he was in the loser side. And because of that, I was taking advantage of it. So that's how I felt about it. I think there's a world where the worst case scenario happened. I think a bad scenario actually would have been Big D beating Riddles, because then do I go Diddy Kong versus Ice Climbing and get absolutely cooked? Or do I pick Sephiroth, who I haven't picked in over a month, like in terms of like serious practice? So in my head, I wasn't going to worry about that unless it was actually queued up for me and Big D to fight. But Big D was definitely favored versus Riddles when it comes to the head-to-head and just maybe even the matchup in some ways. So I was fortunate enough to not have to overthink that part. But yeah, that was really scary. It's always funny because Big D is one of the main targets when it comes to like, oh, finally, like kind of just focusing on solo Diddy. Oh, Big D's in my bracket path. What the heck? The one Ice-Climbers player like ever, like in terms of like, you know, in tournaments I'm usually at. So yeah, that was really concerning, but I didn't have to worry about it. And the thing with Riddles too, like as black and white as I was kind of framing it, I do know that Riddles kind of cleaned me up at Gamma last year, and the situations were entirely different. I think a lot of people were kind of just disregarding Riddles' chances because Genesis wasn't a very close set. But I knew like you know, he could switch around characters, and, you know, all it takes is like the, like one mistake from me or like one good read from Riddles. And like, the pressure would be like difficult because of like the big stage and everything. Like, and even game two was so bad for me that I was like pretty concerned. Riddles, I think, had some good defense going with Terry in game two. He was sitting in the corner really well. If I did a bad monkey flip, he killed me like once or twice for it. But I think I adapted back, so that's good. But, you know, when you're playing characters like Terry and Kazuya versus Diddy, they both kind of get washed by Diddy. So you kind of have to just play it by feel, like who's playing well right now. Like, what have I been doing throughout the bracket? What stage are we on? Like, because it's hard to just play it by the book when you're playing terrible matchups regardless of the character you pick. So I think in a lot of ways, like, Riddles had like the right ideas, so, and his defense was better than anticipated too. So
yeah, it definitely looked like he worked on the Diddy matchup specifically. I was like surprised that he took game two off of you, and I think a part of it obviously was the character change as well, which is one of the advantages of playing two of those characters, right? Especially Kazi and Terry, they feel like same but different, right, in so many ways. I know you think that Terry's the best of the four, right, Gavin? Or close to it?
Usually, like, when I'm this is actually something I talk about with B a lot, because she hates Terry. She thinks Terry's super ridiculous. So she thinks Terry's better than Kazuya. And there's a lot of people that can surely understand the logic around why Terry's, like, you know, has some similar strengths, but he's more of a well-rounded, like, Smash type of character, whereas Kazuya's, like, puts all of his strengths into like one or two things. So I think there's logic that you can argue for both. For me right now, I would probably just say Kazuya just to keep it simple, but I can see why Terry's better. It reminds me of the whole heavy conversation where they're like, well, Bowser's the most well-rounded or blah, blah, blah. But if you're playing a character like that, I think you should pick the one that's the least well-rounded. There's also logic for that, right? Like,
yeah.
Just, if you want to play a heavy and win, why are you going to pick the well-rounded one? The well-rounded one isn't top tier. So just pick DK and try to kill them when you hit them. You know what I mean? Like, and we've talked about this on the show before. Shouts to Jackal for like kind of enlightening me to that logic one day where he's like, yeah, like, what's the point of trying to like balance yourself out? You're playing like really volatile characters. So I'm going to go with Kazuya. And it reminds me of Riddles versus Sonics and Losers. I missed the winner set. But I was like obviously waiting to play, so I was watching the loser set, and he went both characters there too. And what I liked more about Kazuya versus Sonic than Terry versus Sonic was actually Kazuya's straight aerials sometimes hitting, and they would do like 12 to 15. And I'm like, all right, that's good enough for me to justify that over Terry. Because surprisingly, Terry's burst options like aren't really going to do anything. Like that random neutral air is enough damage to be like, okay, I think this is the play. Like, I barely talked about it with Riddles, but I think because of how Sonic is, I've played a lot of bad matchups versus Sonic. So I know, like, because of how he's positioning and playing, a lot of your hits on Sonic are just one hit. That's it. So I think you want to pick your option that has better damage for a straight hit if you don't have, like, long distance confirmed. And Kazuya's straight hits still do a lot of damage. So that was like my advice to Riddles. I just thought, like, you know, based on the data we got from that set, I think he should stick it with Kazuya. Power Wave doesn't really do anything.
Nope.
Crack Shoot and Dash Attack and Dash Grab really aren't as valuable. So despite how favorable the matchup and the stages are for like Kazuya Sonic, I think because Kazuya's stray moves do so much damage, I think that was the play. And that's the one game he won, so.
Yeah. I think, too, like, while we're on the topic, I got to give, because on the show, something else we, like, kind of joke about or kind of bring up in a serious way is how brackets seem to be, quote-unquote, rigged in one way or another. But, bro, Riddles had the opposite this weekend. He had to go through Sonics, Big D, and you, which is just... I don't think I could pick a worse Nightmare Blunt rotation for Riddles if I tried, honestly.
Put a just in there or something, yeah.
Maybe, yeah. But even then, I mean, the three of you have just been, it's so tough. Like, and I just got to give him a shout out because, damn, like, he played so well.
Pretty much all of it, so.
Yeah, right. And taking a game off you, too, in Winter Side Finals was just, I was just really impressed with Riddles this weekend. Like, he was throwing every challenge. Plus, I think he got top eight in Street Fighter. So, bro, yeah. Every time we talk about him, it's just how much he grinds and cares about doing well in both games he plays. And I'm just, I don't know. The kid's amazing. So,
yeah, I agree. He deserves his flowers because every time I was warming up in the VIP room, he was in there in between Street Fighter stuff, practicing on his own, playing with people. So, you know, when we were queued up to play in Winners Finals, he was just by himself, silent, in training mode, beating up Diddy Kong. Like, like, so he went to Gommel, like, he's there for business, bro. He got 7th in Street Fighter 6. He went last game with Mena RD in Street Fighter 6. Made Mena switch off of Blanca to do the loop ditto. Like, I mean, he's just impressive. Like, the third place and the seventh place in Street Fighter 6, third place in Ultimate, seventh place in Street Fighter 6 is just as impressive as winning the event, if not more impressive in some ways. So, yeah, I love the guy. He's great. I don't like his characters. The matchup is so favorable that I don't have to think about how much I hate those characters. But, dude, Kazuya is just too much, bro. But when I'm watching him versus Sonics, like, you almost want Kazuya to be your friend. Like, because, I mean, I was thinking about that the whole weekend with, like, how crazy strong, like, ultimate characters are. Like, bro, when you're watching, like Sonic, Steve, like, they're just in another universe. Those characters are just so much better. Like, and honestly, especially Sonic when he's winning. Like,
Sonic with the lead, man.
Like, this
strongest
is
a character in the game.
New to no one listening or watching this, but what the heck, dude? Like, Sonic is so good. You literally can't do anything most of the time. It's crazy.
Yeah, there's so many Sonic matchups that it feels like it's decided on the first stock.
Yeah.
Whoever loses the first stock, you know, pretty much loses the game and stuff like that. I kind of wanted to just go more into detail about the syrup set. Obviously, Steve is the strongest character in the game right now. And I mean, I want to say that it was really fun watching your set against Steve because there was a lot of new strategies, I think, that you've implied since the last time I've seen you play against Steve. So one of them was I felt like you were doing a lot more early pressure against the like dirt blocks, which was really fun to see. Because I mean, I've always said this, I think right at go, Steve has like his materials have the least amount of health, right? The dirt blocks, obviously wood is still a strong weapon, but at least his walling mechanics are at his weakest. Right. And then, so it seemed like Z drop, Back air wouldn't take out the dirt blocks immediately, but Fair was doing a pretty decent job right at the start against the dirt blocks, so that was cool. We did see sometimes you were doing the barrels. It wasn't every time to break the blocks. And a lot of the times, too, I think you set yourself up nicely where you damage the blocks, and then you're very ready for the next scenario of, like, is Steve going to build more blocks, or are we going to play this mid-range zoning game with the threat of Monkey Flip being on the table? So that was really cool to see. I did see a couple of edge cancels with Monkey Flip on some of the blocks that were made. So that was cool as well. Was there any other like character specific tech that you felt like was helping you a lot versus the character and stuff like that? Because I just wanted to point those things out because it feels like there, I've seen you implement a bunch of these different strategies, but this set, I felt like all of it was coming together and you knew it felt like you were more comfortable when and where to use every specific piece of counterplay or tech.
Yeah, so essentially, like, you have to have a bunch of different, like, strings on the blocks when you play Diddy versus Steve. You have to have a bunch, and you have to consider the type of block it is. You have to consider, like, obviously the advantage or deficit you're at and all that stuff. And that's the other thing, too. Like, a lot of the time the blocks aren't fully broken. You're just, like, getting them to, like, 90-95%. Broken, and the situation after is really important because you can't just like hit them again because Steve will probably hit you during your
next hit or something. So, you know, that's the difficult part, because a lot of the time the Steve can like set up a new wall before the first wall is broken. So it's kind of a vibe check, right? Like, is the Steve going to play aggressive or defensive? It's kind of up to them to decide how they want to play it out, and I just have to try to respond as well as I can. But yeah, I have a million different routes I can take on the blocks. And the most important part that is a little bit newer that I got a lot better with is having all of these different like strings on the blocks while keeping banana in play. It doesn't even have to be in my hand sometimes. That's actually the biggest thing for dealing with Steve's blocks as Diddy is how to do it like efficiently while keeping banana in play. Because at first glance, banana actually seems kind of useless versus Steve, because you don't have access to your grounded moves and you have to do Z drop aerials to hit the blocks. It just doesn't seem very efficient. But I think you can actually do it in a way where like you have a little bit of both, like no banana, having banana in play. Like, so overall, like I mean, there's a lot of discourse that happens a lot whenever I like win a matchup that's usually perceived as like really bad. And I think the best way to say it, especially like for like Pac-Man or Steve, is like they're still like terrible. They're like pretty close to being like unplayable. But, you know, I practice my ass off and there's still things you can do, but, yeah, it's really, really not favored. Like you can look at that set, like I probably should have lost. So, I've always felt like Steve was better than his worst matchups, but on a bad day, it feels like he can go into that category with like Pac-Man and Duck Hunt. But I think if you want to be as reasonable as possible without being too positive or too negative, he's probably like a tier below those. He's probably more with like Fox and stuff like that.
Okay.
Or who else? Like, you know, like a Samus or like an Ice Climbers or like a Rosa. Like maybe he's somewhere in between all that stuff. So yeah, it's pretty terrible, but there's stuff you can do, and I feel like if Diddy gets the right hits and Steve doesn't have a lot of materials, he can kind of play as if he's like Fox or Mario, right, where he can just like bully you with quick frame data. If Steve doesn't have a lot to work with, Monkey Flip becomes really good, because Steve is it's pretty hard for him to leave the ground sometimes if he doesn't have a lot to work with. So I think if you start having an advantage, like you can kind of bully him. You know, if you watch like Sonics versus Steve, like he can get that situation to happen a lot where like it really looks like Steve is just kind of flailing and struggling because he's like really just taken everything from them. So that's kind of Diddy's goal too. It's just not as easy. So yeah, I mean, I think I played it well, and I honestly, I think there's been other sets with Diddy where I play it well, and it'll be a set like this where I just lose the game five. That's usually what happens. So to me, all I hope is that just the confidence and the motivation from like getting this one W against Steve can hopefully just snowball into me like clutching out versus Steve more often. Like I hope it just breaks like a barrier. Like I really do.
Man, I got like 2 million questions for you. It's actually pretty interesting. So one thing I did know is your hitbox placement on Minecart was the best it's ever been.
I don't think you deliberate. That wasn't like a random thing. So
yeah, for sure. I was actually like genuinely impressed. Like, golly, I don't even think we've gotten hit by a minecart. Like you were above it pretty much every time.
Or using banana to like hit Steve out of minecart, then you aerial. I thought you were doing pretty well in advantage.
I wish that was easier said than done.
No, well, that's the hard part because you can't hit the minecart, right? You need to hit.
Can't do it head on. Like if you just throw banana at head on, he just the cart eats the banana,
so, which made it so impressive. You were coming in at usual angles, like you were a little bit above him, and then you would throw it, or you would throw it down. Like you would jump up and then let the minecart come underneath, throw down back air. So I love the banana usage. Versus minecart specifically.
Yeah.
I was going to say, speaking of very specific character counterplay knowledge, can we talk about Sonic's homing attack for 2 seconds? I know we did before we went live, but yeah, I think you got something to say about that, Gavin.
It was on purpose. That's all I got to say.
Just anyone out there who asked the question, I saw it on my timeline too. I was like, bro, are we serious right now?
Yes, it was on purpose. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, Mark.
I got out of the homing attack. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. So when you, I was talking to Haz about this, I saw you beat Seraph. I was like, all right, it's lit. I'm sure you knew you had a pretty good feeling you were going to play Sonics and Grands. Yeah. Would you have felt any different about winning the tournament if you didn't play Sonics and Grands?
Because
you did overcome Steve, but you've been losing to Sonics more recently.
Yeah.
And I know you kind of wanted a W. You would have won the event without playing him. Like,
yeah, it would have felt rough because, I mean, most people know that, like, if I have to pick between, like, playing someone I lost to previously and then someone else, like, I usually am, like, fueled by getting my run backs 9 times out of 10. So I wanted to play Sonics to finish it off because he beat me the last 2 times. So I would have heavily preferred that. But there's still, like, I would still play my best regardless of who I was up against. Like, if Onan made it all the way back, that would have been scary because Onan was actually on, like, a really, really long loser's run. I was noting, like, just, like this morning or something, like, looking through, like, some of the bracket, like, how many matches Onan won. Like, Onan beating Jackal, obviously unfortunate for my boy Jackal, but, that was Onan's first time beating Jackal, and then, like, just winning a million sets after losing to Monty, like, pretty early in like, to, like in top 32 or something like that. So, that was nerve-wracking, right? Because, like I said, like, the Steve I played, like, playing Syrup in winter semis, for better or worse, that was the Steve I play with the most. I've played Syrup a bunch of times in friendlies, online, with Sephiroth in tournament, with Diddy in tournament. I played against his Ness with both characters. So, like, Syrup's helped me a lot to get better, but I wasn't sure how much playing that same person would benefit or not. So I genuinely was curious, would playing Onan be better than playing Syrup? Would it be worse? Onan's beaten me a couple times. I haven't played Onan in a full set with Diddy Kong before. So, like, you know, I was kind of curious, so I was also down for that. But overall, like, I was just gonna pick Sonics because it was, like, character I hadn't played against in the top cut of bracket, player that beat me before. In a lot of ways, you can say Sonics is just straight up the best player in the world sometimes. So why not, like, finish it off that way?
All right, 2 more questions. I'm gone. I'm not speaking for the rest of the episode. I don't know. I'm just curious about a lot of things. Okay, so next little question that had me kind of shook. So you're playing Anathema, and it was looking good, and then it was not looking good.
Yeah.
Which is a set that I think it got overshadowed because the Syrup set was so close, and it was in top 8. There are probably a lot more eyes on it. But that Anathema set,
not the first time we've had a set like that.
Yeah.
Like, I was going to say,
once it went to that last game, like, how are you feeling? Cause you nared Anathema shield. You got up smashed. Oh no, this is bad.
Yeah. I wasn't sure on stages. Like, lately Rob's been giving me a hard time. I feel really, like, clunky and, like it just hasn't been feeling good lately at all. Like, it feels like no matter what I do, like, Rob's always there bullying me. It feels like whenever I get hit at those, like, low percents or mid percents, I can't really move. It feels like I'm never quite, like, on point versus Rob anymore. It just feels like he's a character that's evolved into, like, a more defensive, like, just straight up camping Diddy out. Like, he's always flying in the air and Diddy can't, like, really do anything to him for it. Like, all that stuff. So that matchup's been really, really tough. And after game 5, Anathema was like kind of just explaining to me in full detail, like,
what they personally thought, like, I was doing pretty bad versus Rob, like, consistently. Like, Anathema was clearly not impressed with my skills versus Rob. Like, I'll just say it like that. Like, Anathema was just kind of brutally honest about some of the stuff. So,
W.
So I'm grateful. Yeah, I'm definitely grateful. Just like, just cut to the chase and tell me why I suck versus Rob. So,
well, it's just
cool to do that.
I feel like you were one of, if not one of the best players against Rob in general.
Yeah.
You know, I would say pre-quarantine, a little bit after quarantine. And it's just, Rob is just, God, this character is so nuts because this character just seems like it's getting better and better and better. Yeah. Not to the degree, like, not Steve levels, but it's just crazy because, you know, we've talked about this so much before, but the year one or two opinion of Rob was like, oh yeah, there's a bunch of Robs in top 32, but Rob can't win no tournament though. Rob can't win, you know what I mean? And now it's like, man, bro might be sitting pretty comfy in top five, you know what I'm saying?
He's a Genesis champ, bro, that character.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, so the character's got sauce.
Yeah, it just feels like I haven't adapted to the adaptation a couple years ago, to be honest. Whether it's,
well, I mean, the character's changing so much, right? Like, we know so much more about the character.
I can't deal with like their current like cadence of the matchup. It's very defensive. They're always like flying in the air. Like, I don't know how to challenge it, if I should at all. Like, there's always like some hesitations. Like, I'm never going to get an edge guard. They are very capable of getting an edge guard. Like, the scrap always feels terrible. If I do like a rising aerial out of shield and some scraps, it feels terrible. Monkey flip is like, it's supposed to be really good because he's like so tall and he's can be kind of grounded at some ranges, but like I might get hit by a million damage laser or just caught by a gyro. Like, it just feels like no matter what button I press, like I'm risking something pretty bad. So I'm hoping that one day it just all clicks together again. Basically, I just want to feel like comfortable against Rob again, like with like pressing buttons, but I just don't I just don't know what buttons to press or when to press them right now. Yeah, I just don't know what happened. I just can't really kill the character anymore. I just can't.
Yeah. So Charles was... Oh god, sorry.
It just kind of reminds me of like Wario, Snake, Steve. Where like they can kind of just not get hit by the moves I need to land. Yeah.
Yeah, as Charles was saying too, I mean, that used to be your go-to answer for what is your best matchup, and I don't know when that shifted, but do you know when it shifted from not being Rob? And if so, who would you say is your best matchup currently?
Once like Zomba started, like for a while it was just close sets and they were clearly like uncomfortable, but now he's just straight up winning. So it's mostly just Zomba, like, just shifting everything.
It's Zomba's fault.
Yes, entirely. Entirely his fault.
Thanks, Zomba.
Thanks a lot, Zomba.
It's kind of just bleeded into just how I'm, like, playing the matchup with any Rob. Like, I'm really trying to figure something out, and sometimes that makes it even harder because I'm trying to learn it in the moment. So, yeah, it's definitely just, like, not adapting to the current adaptation they have versus Diddy.
But maybe Boost got to bring the Rob back.
Yeah, he does, bro. Come on, hit me up.
Come on, Boost.
So, the tweets be killing me.
I love Boost, dude. Shout out. He's the GOAT, man. I love Boost. So who would you say currently, Gavin, is your best matchup? Like, you see this character in your path or the best player of this character, and you're like, I got this. Like, no sweat, or I'm not feeling any pressure at all.
The characters I've always thought and other people have always suggested to me, like, I'm sure, like, I think all of you guys in this call have thought that. I've always thought, I like, across multiple games for some of this, I've always thought I've been really good versus Falcon in Smash 4 and Ultimate. Mm-hmm. I am really good versus the fighting game characters, but I think that's Diddy sometimes, most of the time. But yeah, I think Falcon might be my best matchup.
Yeah, it stands over multiple.
It's canon anyway.
Some relevant characters.
Relevant? Okay. I need to pull up some characters. I was hoping you guys would tell me.
It's canon. If we're talking about across multiple games, you've always been good against Corrin.
Oh, yeah.
It might be a matchup thing, though. Cloud and Diddy.
Yep. See? Here's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know.
I do think I'm really good versus Fox. Like, I'm not kidding.
Now you are.
Yeah, it took a while, but I was kind of forced to get really good versus Fox. Yeah.
Donkey Kong comes to mind. You're very good against DK. Hey, he just had to play one this week. That's a meta relevant character.
Is he good at the matchups or is he just carried?
True.
Carried by tech skill. the best Kong.
I'm pretty good versus Mario.
You actually are.
You are, yeah. Yeah, I would agree. And I would say Diddy doesn't do that hot versus
it's
Mario.
That's like an evenish matchup. Maybe
yeah, evenish.
So I might think it's slight Diddy favored, but I'm sure a lot of Diddy's would actually.
Is it a soft even or a hard even? A
slight Diddy favorite. That's crazy.
Okay.
A lot of matchup players might not say that, but.
Yeah. You know what matchup you're objectively godlike at is actually Pac-Man. You, bro, it's like the worst matchup ever. Yeah. It was funny when you were talking about how you were motivated to play against. Wolf?
Actually, the goat versus Wolf. Yeah.
Yeah, you're very, very good versus Wolf. But it reminded me of when you were talking about how you wanted to play Sonics because it was kind of like the revenge tour or your list or whatever you call it. Bro, it reminded me of T so much because I don't know if everyone knows that, but T had been in your list. That was since main stage, right? Main stage.
3 years old. Like,
dude, oh my God.
You got a kill screen. It was going to be 3-1. I got a kill screen. Did not kill at 140, forward air off stage.
The crowd in the United States of America, California, pops off for T.
Every time, yep.
come on, minus, crowd. Minus come on, SoCal, what are you doing?
So, yeah, that one felt good. But, dude, I always thought I was really good versus Wario, but Gluto is just really, like, kept up over the years. And the matchup I play isn't as favorable. But even back in the day, I was like, I thought I was super good versus Wario because I'd beaten Gluto with PT and Lodito and Wolf. But he definitely caught up a bit once I like kind of stuck it out with Diddy. I always thought I was good versus Zero Suit, but I wasn't sure because every time I played it, it was a favorable matchup. But I did win it with Wario as well. So I guess my last one for a suggestion is I think I'm good versus Yoshi. Yeah.
Have you played against Yoshidori yet?
No, I haven't. I have not.
Damn, that would be hype.
Yeah, I would like to see if I'm correct. Pretty sure I'm good versus Yoshi. I'm pretty positive, actually.
That is a cool thing about Ultimate because, you know, everyone's kind of doomer about Ultimate right now, which, you know, with the talk of the new Switch and all, I get it, you know, obviously. But there are still so many matchups we haven't seen that would be amazing. Yeah. Like, yeah. So hopefully a tournament series brings some hype matchup in the future.
That was my first time playing Chunky Kong ever. So
yes, great example. Oh, dude, and then we got some classics like Mars Cola, which was amazing. Like, I don't know.
That was such
me and I got to watch the whole thing. So,
damn.
I mean, I was just thinking the whole time. First off, it is like an honor to be on the same team with him. Like, how crazy is that? Like, how all the years have gone by. And like we end up in this situation, kind of like being on the same team with Leo. It's like kind of surreal. But Mars is like probably the person I relate to the most when it comes to another competitor. We're very close in age. We were going to a lot of the like regional level tournaments when we first started. He used to beat my ass in Smash 4.
I would cook you.
similar timing on your come-ups as well, right? Like you guys started placing really well at the same time.
I just relate the most to him if I could pick one like peer. So I mean that was an honor, and just watching him play, because I know Zero Suit struggles. Like it's not even about like jokes or memes or anything. Like she is definitely not a great pick right now. In some ways, she can be a little anti-meta, but that's about it. And Cola's been a household name in Ultimate, if not for like maybe longer than Mars at this point. And like, dude, he's like down 2-1. He's just always fighting his hardest. Like, when he chooses to enter a tournament, he still makes the most out of it, no matter what. He is such a fighter, and that's what I love the most about watching him versus Cola. Is he's struggling sometimes, or he just like the matchup is clearly not in his favor, and he just keeps fighting like no matter what. Like
Roy falls out of jab 1-2-3.
Mars whiffs a grab because Cola rolls through it, forward smash kills him at 50. I'm like, cool, nice, that's fucking sick, dude, awesome. Like she, and I love Cola obviously, and that was obviously well played by Cola, but that's part of why like that high octane matchup is so fun. But it gets to that point bracket where I'm like, dude, I'm fans of everyone at this point. Like, this sucks. I don't want to see either of them lose because it's just tough. And I saw, congrats to Mars for getting picked up by Luminosity. It's a great pickup by them, obviously. He's very, very good at content right now. And I saw people in the chat, they're like, bro, he's washed. It's like, he doesn't even go to tournaments. Like, why the fuck do you think he wasn't going to tournaments? He didn't have a sponsor. Why would he pay to go to tournaments? Like, he usually had to go out of pocket for that stuff because he wasn't sponsored. So now that he's sponsored, he'll be playing. I was watching him stream today. He was watching his matches. He was preparing, man. He's reviewing them. So I think we're going to see him at more tournaments, which makes, obviously, me very happy. And I'm sure the rest of you as well. So I'm just very excited. It's a good timing on the pickup. He's an exciting pickup, and I think he's going to help their content game out, and then it'll help him as a player. Like, it's very mutually beneficial, which is great.
It kind of happened so fast. It's just now hitting me, like, how it's just crazy how life worked out, I guess.
He's so fun to watch, man. He's one of the most unique players I've ever seen pick up.
Absolutely. A
GameCube controller. So, and I don't throw that terminology around a lot. Like, they're very weird, very special. Very annoying to play against, but like still very sick,
he's mean.
You know what I mean?
He's mean.
He's mean. Yep.
He's
that's the word.
Fucked
we up. All know this. He's it been is... mean to us many times. He God. Makes you feel really stupid, and
he's a bully.
He meant to do that. He
and if he's friends with you, he'll let you know.
he wants to hurt you, and then you might want to hurt him back physically in real life.
Yeah, Charles, like, I've never seen you play against Mars. I don't think I ever do, bro. I don't know.
Man, there's a nice. Clip at like there's a we're playing nice. Friendlies at Summit. Oh, dude, I was omega pissed, and then like I had to like get on the mic or something, and he did some super messed up thing to me, and I was so pissed. And then right off the next stock, I like run off fair, footstool him off stage, and then I like throw my controller down. I was like, fuck you. And I just like walked over to the couch.
Is that when he was recording content at Summit?
Yeah, it's like it was on his stream. Yeah. I don't know. Like someone might have the clip. But yeah.
He made a video out of that stuff. I remember it, dude. It was a very, very funny video. He's just like you guys said, like
he loves farming his friends for content.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to return the favor to him, is what
See,
I have to
you,
say.
You struck back. You fought back, Ez.
I did, dude. I had to, bro. I had enough.
You fought back, bro.
That's what the episode's about.
Finally, yeah, we can talk. Can we talk about it? That 8-year-old video I made? Very funny. But yeah, he really just has this eye for the game. And you can obviously see some of the faults that Zero Suit has. Like, dude, and if you just see him fight against Kazuya, that's a matchup that, like you said, Gavin, a lot of people put Zero Suit in this category of being anti-meta now, where people say she does pretty well against Steve, she does pretty well against Kazuya, like, whatever.
Yeah.
But, dude, Kazuya is one of his personal struggle matchups. Like, and it's so hard. Like, the matchup comes down to he's, like, nairing and zaring, and Kazuya's just invincible running through it and, like, trying to electric him. It's like, that's hard, man. That seems really hard. So him versus Riddles, I knew that was a tough one for maybe on paper should be tough for the Kazuya player, but I know personally Mars is like it's just a tough one for him. So
dude, you have to space everything perfectly, but if you space something perfectly, you get 10 to 20 damage. If you misspaced it by a little bit and he electrics as you're coming down, you're dead. Like on paper, like maybe Zero Suit never gets hit, but if you do get hit, you just have to add in the human factor.
I mean, I've been through it too. Like, I think you have to take a few L's versus players like Riddles before you can like play the matchup as well as you can. Like, as good as Diddy is versus all the fighting game characters, I've lost to Riddles multiple times. Mm-hmm. So it just is what it is. Like, and we're still relatively back and forth if you look at it. So, it's like Steve, like. I took my 1,000th try at a major and I finally won a close game 5 versus Steve. Like, the characters are so ridiculous that you just have to like just rinse and repeat over and over. So,
and let's be real, it didn't come down to the game 5, it came down to the game 4. That game 4, you clutching it out there, I was like, because that whole last stock of game 4, I was like, man, this is so hard. This looks so fucking hard. And then you finally got like the jab down tilt into the fair, into like Syrup hits the block he made but then didn't realize it and didn't tech on the platform, and then you hard read the roll in or whatever. Like, that was crazy.
Yeah, that was it. I didn't really have any emotion behind it because I just thought the set was over. So
and you probably needed the charge on the up smash to get the KO because Steve was pretty
dude. I don't even know why that killed. That might have been bad DI, because even with that,
oh true, because Steve is so heavy. That's another thing that makes Steve so frustrating in certain matchups, you know.
Even with that DI, like, I just, or even with the platform, I mean, like, 99. I don't think. Maybe it was just the way it connected because his hurt box couldn't shift at all. Like, so he was just on the platform the whole time.
But that, like, was awful, DI. Yeah.
I think it was just heat of the moment. Like, just chaos. Like,
he was surprised for sure.
I'm just surprised at the bad DI because it's not like a single hit move, but.
The other one. One I popped off for was when you played against Riddles. I think it was maybe game three, and you killed Terry at like 90 with a
conversion.
That was so sick, dude. I popped off. That was wild.
From a Z drop out of shield.
Yes. And you killed Terry at, he's starting at 90. So you killed him as he got go, basically, which is obviously pretty important when you're playing against Terry.
Yeah. I mean, it just reminds me, I mean, there was a bunch of situations where like I got earlier kills than usual, just messing with DI and stuff. But there's also situations where, like, even against Riddles, where I got up smash like 140, like just not killing, like versus Sonics, like I got like down to up smashes at 120 and a kill screen. I'm like, shut up. Like, don't do that. Like, so I mean, yeah, like some of them were just like kind of miracles. Like, The early kills versus Riddles like weren't super necessary because I was in the lead, but obviously I'll take it because you don't have to interact with the meter. But yeah, stuff like that does make the matchup a little tougher for when it comes to Kazuya and stuff, because you do have to like hit Kazuya 1,000 times to beat the rage drive out of him. But it's usually like very favorable regardless. But yeah. That, especially like the up smash game four versus Sierra, it was just like, I'm not getting that again. That was a miracle up smash. So,
like, okay, like what happened? Like, you were not locked into smash. You went to level up. You got like fourth or something or whatever. Yeah. Like, you just played, like, you didn't really do anything special. You just got, which is hard to, like, weird to say, like, getting fourth. Like, that tells what your expectations are and people's expectations of you are. And then you just show up to Gamo like, yeah, I'm locking in all Diddy Kong.
Yep.
Don't talk to me. Like, hey, it's lit. Clip Gavin came back. Bro, people were getting absolutely cooked. You're letting up smashes rip, like Sonics is doing like a spin. You're like seven. Boop, boop. Like, you just let him rip. I'm like, what? Since when? Like, what just happened? Like, why is Clip Gavin back? What? Like, what changed? You were doing like nair into, they're on like above a platform. You're doing banana nair, like catch the banana, throw the banana up air. I'm like, what's going? Like, who is this? Like, since when? Where'd you? Like, what? Where'd the motivation come from? Like, I don't get it. Like, I know it's some. It just comes and goes sometimes. But
Yu-Gi-Oh, Heart of the Cards.
I was gonna say the X Factor is the Yu-Gi-Oh locals, bro.
I mean, yeah, it always comes and goes. But I mean, I was practicing and streaming a lot going into this, and I already had the plan to play all Diddy regardless. It wasn't a coincidence, like it has been in the past. Sometimes when I win with solo Diddy, it was all very deliberate. I got some runbacks like Syrup and Sonics, like, and those are like big motivators for me very often, is like people that have beat me before, especially if they've beaten me like more than once in a row, then I really don't want to lose to them. Like, I also wanted to play light, obviously. Like, I was very open to playing against Paris this weekend.
He had a shit bracket, man.
He did.
Bro, that's what I'm saying. Like, I remember people, bro, just send light to Japan, no flame, but like the same thing could happen. Like, that's what I was trying to say to
there's
people.
There's more ice climbers like, players in Japan, I'll tell you that.
Like, a lot more. Yeah. But it's like, people are like trying to flame NA, like, bro, like they suck. Like, they go over there. They just had unfortunate brackets. Like, things could change. Like, if people just play certain players, things happen. Like, you think light doesn't make top eight if he, like, winner side top eight if he doesn't play Big D this weekend? Like, he clears the whole bracket. Like, it just, it is what it is. But unfortunately, he drew that matchup, and, you know, that changes an entire bracket.
Yeah, I guess the final thing for me, like, staying motivated was, like, traveling with B. Like, it's like,
true.
I was like, no matter what, I want to, like, make sure her weekend is good. And obviously, it'll be better if I win. And obviously it'll be better that if I lose, I still, like, you know, hang out afterwards, like, go out to eat, blah, blah, blah.
socializing all that.
That's another motivator too, is like, she was very supportive. She was telling me I'm going to win before I even like played, like all that stuff, like always. So thank you to her as always. And I guess the final thing, like, I wasn't even sure if I was going to talk about this, but the final thing was definitely just my in-game tag the whole weekend, because it was just like always like a reminder. And it was like emotional, but also helpful in a weird way. So basically, like our family dog, her name is Adeline. She recently got diagnosed with like a terminal like disease, like spine, like DNA type of thing. Like, she like doesn't have control of her back legs as much anymore. Like, it's basically just gonna like start at like at that area, and just there's just nothing we can do basically. Like, basically I've been trying to see her as much as I can. Like, I don't know. I guess it could be like maybe a month or two, maybe. So, I mean, that was the big one for me, especially in like the like anathema or like syrup set, to be honest. I think moments where I would be like pretty, like, I've been doing this a long time, so when things don't go my way, sometimes I'm just like, oh, I'm gonna go Sephiroth, or I don't feel like it anymore, like, because the game is pretty. Cause the Smash Ultimate's kind of in a rough spot, in my opinion, and also like that's been in my nature a little bit over the years. So, but it didn't really happen as much, and I think the in-game tag helped a lot, just as a motivator.
Nice, I love to hear that. Yeah, yeah, I appreciate you sharing with that too, because I know a lot of people in the chat were like, "What does that mean?" and all that. So I know people are wondering for sure.
Adderall,
I know, dude. I was like, "You idiots, dude." I know. As a caster, you learn to just never question the tag or make jokes about it, because sometimes it is something emotional like that, and it's just like, yeah, you make that mistake once and you're done doing it. So appreciate you opening up, man. I'm glad that helped you out. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Bro, you know, the moment I knew you were winning the tournament, when you hit the runoff up B, up B edge guard on Sonic's,
dude.
Brands, I believe it was the second game. Once I saw that connect and you edge guarded Sonic the Hedgehog, I was like, he wins.
I love how you say Sonic the Hedgehog. Like,
he is indeed Sonic the Hedgehog.
My first time ever edge guarding Sonic's.
Nice.
I've played him a thousand times.
Very difficult character to edgeguard. And like, just the way you did it, because the idea of, oh, hey, he's setting up for a spring, I'm going to run off. And then you like ran off, flicked underneath the stage, and then you started charging up B. And then Sonic doesn't have a hitbox, obviously, on the up B. So you just kind of time it or react to the up B happening. It was super clean. It was nice.
Appreciate it. Yeah, that was definitely a clean moment for sure.
And then you got super lucky, obviously, with the accidental monkey flip to dodge the homing attack, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Poor Sonic's SD'd.
The SD was very fortunate towards the end.
Oh, that one.
Is that a legit forced SD? Because you know how commentators say, like, forced SD, like, oh, you put them in a sticky scenario, so they messed up. Yeah. But that was an actual, for real, forced SD, right?
The homing attack?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you just got out of the way, so you really forced an SD.
Yeah, it's like a true forced error, like tennis, right? Where it's like you just played correctly, so they didn't have a play, like you couldn't do anything. Dang.
It's just like that up smash didn't kill. All
right. Yeah, that was wild.
So basically, like, Sonic's edge guarding on Diddy is really good, but there is like a bit of a mini game to it sometimes when I still have my double jump and with like weird interactions like that. So, like, if I commit to barrels, homing attack is, like, pretty amazing at hitting Diddy out of barrels, especially if I, like, lose my jump or something. So, usually he can get, like, a couple hits, take my jump away, then get the homing attack, and it's GG's. So, there I had my double jump after he hit me with spring. So, I used my double jump and my monkey flip to go to the wall under PS2 because I was just predicting he would try to homing attack my barrels, because we were at a point where I didn't have to charge the barrels. If I just pressed up B, I could have made it to the ledge. So he did his homing attack a little early because he didn't have time to like charge his homing attack while I charged my barrels or like something like that. So I just saved my jump and just immediately dealt with what I thought was going to be homing attack. So
just got out of the way, and then the obviously, if you don't know, there's a pillar in the underneath PS2 that you can actually wall cling on. So you can't really see the wall. Like, it's not as obvious as Kalos, but yeah, you can actually wall cling. And there's a bunch of like Lucario, Diddy Kong, Bayonetta plays that you can kind of do there. Sheik can kind of hang out there for a little bit too.
Yeah. Diddy's really good with walls. And the other crazy thing is if there's no walls, he can go under every other stage too. So
you, the like, the most useless stuff, it seems so useless. Like, when is this scenario ever going to come up? But they came up and they were set winning scenarios. Like, yeah. It looks lots so stupid.
Why are you practice, bro?
Yeah, like, why are you practicing going under the stage? Like, why do you need to know how much charge you have going under the stage? Like, why would you ever wall cling, like, use your monkey flip to wall cling to the like, it's like so many, like, things that just seem so stupid. Like, you could be practicing other things with your time, but they won you sets. Like, you literally would have gone to losers and probably not won the tournament. So.
Exactly. Yeah. It's, I mean, it also makes it a like deciding on stages versus certain players and characters very important as a Diddy player. Cause like, for example, versus Steve, if we go PS2 and I'm recovering and he sets up blocks, I only got one ledge to choose, bro. And Diddy's barrels have a really hard time grabbing the ledge.
With the blocks, because they proc the barrels, right? It's not like your uppie has like a hitbox before you snap. Or they kind of do, but you don't want the barrels to proc.
If I need my double jump to even have a chance. And so basically there's a lot of situations where I would get checkmated on stages that don't have walls or that do have walls. So ban PS2 versus that. But if we're playing against Sonic, doesn't matter if I'm going under the stage or not. He's going to go. He's going to cover both. So might as well go PS2. So
yeah, just have access to the wall. And the wall is actually in a pretty convenient location, like especially from what set we saw there. I mean, monkey flipping to the wall is a legit answer to a drop zone homing attack, right? Trying to read the barrels. And again, I mean, that's a very common spot where Diddy will like do a fast barrel or a charge barrel, right? So it's not even a bad play on Sonic's end.
He homing attacked. He zero to death me one of the games and he ended it with homing attack because once you take everything from Diddy, he's going to have to charge his barrels a significant amount. So you just homing attack onto the barrels and you kill him.
Yep. The only time that didn't work was when Ken did it versus you at, what was it? Port?
Yeah, I think he was just a little slow and it just ended up being the worst
case. Behind you or something like that. He lost the stock for it too. It was crazy.
I just released it early enough and he released his too late. So
yeah,
that was crazy. When that happened in the moment, I didn't know exactly who died. Like, it wasn't like a thing.
I thought you were getting KO screened.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it was actually, then it was like game. And then I just saw Diddy Kong like flying to the stage. I was like, huh? Mad funny.
Yeah.
You excited about Momo though? Trying to get the back to back?
Yeah. I mean, has linked the seating in the server. So if we look at like the players, like I'd love to play DeBuzz. He beat me last time. It was like a weird best of three scenario, but he still beat me. And Rosa Diddy's been really hard lately. I played against a Rosa player at Gommel. So I'm hoping it can be something. Diddy has to hit Luma so much. I have to combo video Luma sometimes. It's pretty funny. But yeah, DeBuzz is just on another level, so I gotta figure that out. I'd like to get a run back on Light. I've never beat Cola before. Not that we've played like that much, but we played a couple times, so never been able to beat him really. We'll see. There's a couple Steves in here, so maybe if I run into one of them, I can like see if how good I am against Steve. I'm excited. I'd love to just.
Oh, Aaron's going to be there too. Let's go W.
Yeah, exactly. More than just like Aaron's usually like I was talking with Aaron a little bit for Gommel. So now that he's going to be there in person, it can make things easier too to like figure some stuff out.
He's another one that just has such a good eye for the game. Like, just even playing friendlies with him a while ago, and just he pointed out so many things that I do. I was like, dude, I've never heard that before. But the second he said it, I'm like, that makes so much sense. Like, he knows his shit really well. Yeah, I'm excited. Dude, this is one of my favorite regions, too, that we're going to. Georgia, Florida, like, really, really good Smash players going on down there. I'm excited to see Beast Mode Paul, top 6 seed, see how that goes. Yeah. I'm excited for that. Cola, obviously, Redemption Arc. Cosmos, seeded to make a top 8.
Yeah,
it's got to happen. Come on, Cosmos. I think last year he lost a knife. Dude, I know.
He lost a Chunky.
He lost a Chunky early last year before Chunky was Chunky. Well, Chunky's always been Chunky, but yeah, you know what I'm saying. Like, that was like one of the first tournaments that put Chunky on the map as far as I'm concerned. So,
dude, Emma, shout outs to how good he is with Donkey Kong, bro.
Absolutely.
He is 100%. So, like, meticulous and ready for every matchup he runs into. Like, he's ready for them, like all of them.
It's what you got to do with Diddy.
He's never winging. Yes, absolutely. He's never just winging it. It is very deliberate all the time. If you watch one of his sets at Gamo, then watch a different one, it's like a different player.
Yeah, like a lot of character-specific tech and stuff like that. So
yes,
it's crazy to see. It's crazy to see Donkey Kong have an out-of-shield option versus Fox. That's like wild to me.
Yes. Yeah.
Very weird and unexpected, but it works. It's very good.
That's how Donkey Kong wins the matchup, right, Charles?
Right, right. Well, and then, of course, he's one of the few characters that can edgeguard Fox, so.
Right.
Yeah, very difficult to do.
One of 80.
One of 90% of the cast. Like, it might be higher than that, honestly. That shit might be a cool 100.
He is, like, actually very good at edgeguarding Fox, though. Because if you got a big old down air that, like, if you can just beat out or trade Firefox with a spike, big check mark to have versus Firefox. Yeah, because most characters that struggle against edgeguarding Fox is they don't have a reliable answer to Firefox because for some reason it's a humongous hitbox in this game. Yeah.
And DK has like 4 spikes, so.
Yeah, you choose one.
Yeah, down air
is very easy to time on recoveries like that. It is very easy. Like, Diddy can down air Fox's up B too, but it's not like the easiest thing to ever input. Like,
I'm assuming Donkey Kong's is more active. Like, there's more active frames, I'm assuming.
It's huge. It's more active. It has a sour spot too that'll send out. Like, it's never going to two. It's just going to hit them. Like, so
yeah, we call that the good old 5 frame. Like,
yeah,
they're not even grabbing the ledge yet, bro.
Nice 10 frame, dude. That was good.
Sephiroth there, 10 frame.
Nice, dude. What a good Arsene counter. Nice 10 frame, bro.
Oh my goodness.
Golly.
Remember when that was the most toxic move in the game?
I do.
Good times.
It still deserves all the hatred it gets.
Honestly.
They'll be recovering above the counter and just destroyed. Hate that move.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. Sora's is crazy too, because it like stops you. I remember when that was first revealed, I had to let the world know how much that, like, how broken that was. Like, hold up, stop. Let me push you closer to the blast real quick, then hit you.
Halt.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy that that's a pretty unique mechanic, too, like, the way he does it, because it, like, breaks their attack. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, Marth's counter slows things down. Like,
repositions them.
It's weird. Yeah, it's unique. For sure. I don't know how unique, but I think pretty sure it's the only counter that really does that. But Marth's like slows you down or like freezes, like freeze frames kind of. But Sora's like, he like stuns you or something. I don't even know how to put it. Like, you're
stunned. What's the animation? I wonder if they have to make new animations for every character.
It might be days, that, like, when you get electrocuted, like Zerosuit down smash, because you're kind of like day. I don't know. It might be. I'm not sure, honestly. I need to look at it.
Reminds
me. I always appreciate that kind of stuff.
When Kazuya Gates of Hell's like characters and they just.
When he does
their knees,
dude.
When he
does
it to DK or like a big body.
Game,
like,
Watch.
Game Watch is the funniest one.
Game Watch is hit by Gates of Hell. Is just like this poor dude.
It's so funny.
He's gonna get ripped to death. Yeah, they had to make unique. I'm assuming those are all unique animations. Even when they added Ryu in the Smash 4, and if you get hit by the focus, you crumple. Yeah. So like. All those types of things, it's like, dang, they have to go through with every character, make all those animations for all those characters. I super appreciate that, because obviously you can just take shortcuts, but the reason why Smash is where it's at right now is they never take shortcuts when it comes to that kind of stuff. So it just, that's why it feels and looks and just is so polished, right?
Speaking of, real quick, I give it up. That Multiverses trailer was
hot.
Okay, it was hot. Real quick, you guys know me. I'm a hater of everything. Oh, like, I just naturally super hater, especially when it comes to platform fighters. That shit won me over for Multiverses. It really did. Plus, I can play as LeBron. It's all, I'd be a little Salsing in real life. I can't wait. I'd be playing LeBron.
I was there since day one, or day zero, actually. All right.
Yeah. Well, I was on my honeymoon, is why I didn't play initially. So I missed out on the boat, which made me really not want to play it, which, you know, pushed the hating even more. But now I'm like, I wasn't playing on my honeymoon, you know, like that wasn't happening. Wait, hold on. LeBron's
hold
out.
Hold on, honey.
I know we're LeBron's out. But it's LeBron. It's the GOAT, you know. So I'm actually super excited for Multiverses now, which was not the case previously, just because, I don't know, I don't usually get excited for other platform fighters. But my perception of that has been changing. Maybe I'm getting softer as I get older. The Combo Devils, when they gave us their promotional material for Watch the Throne, legitimately awesome. And then Rivals 2 has been killing it. And now Multiverses returning looks... We need to say gameplay is what I'll say about Multiverses. That trailer was amazing. And it was like a fun... It was fun. That was the thing I liked about it the most. It was just fun. Here's these characters that you like and know interacting together in a way that's unexpected and fun. Sounds a little familiar, right? Like, sounds a little similar vibes to what we all know and love very much. So I'm officially actually on the hype train for it, and I will be playing when it comes out. So I'm excited.
And Cosmos made a very good tweet. He was saying that he hopes that there is some kind of like subspace-like kind of content in Multiverses, because Smash kind of moved away from having like those cinematics in a one-player mode and stuff like that. But from this trailer... If WB is down to hash out like an entire storyline or campaign and have these cinematics that are very high quality, and it's all these characters from all these different IPs interacting with each other, that's already in the game as well too. Like, there are specific voice lines for specific characters as well. So that's already kind of ingrained into the game. But if we also get that as well, like in the one player mode content or some kind of campaign or even co-op would be really sick. And just seeing these cinematics more often would be dope.
Bro. Yeah. The amount of teasers. You see Robin right there? Let's lock in.
There's so many.
Bro, it's so many. And the
Green Lantern in the background.
Green Lantern is right there.
Flower.
Raven.
There's Raven. Raven's about to come up. Boom. Yeah. Raven. Like, bro, I was sitting there. I watched this trailer like 200 times. I was like, what the heck? Like, you just see random stuff pop up in these trailers. You're like, oh, I missed that. Oh, I missed that. Like,
dude, the voice acting was good. The Easter eggs were really good. And the IP is really, really good. Like, I grew up on DC Comics. Like, I love Batman, Superman, all the whole gang. Aquaman was teased. He's one of my faves.
He was
teased. So I'm excited. But, you know, I think.
This is just so crazy, dude.
It's wild. It's cool, man.
And then they opened up with Velma. Dude, that was the character I played. She was obviously really broken, but also very fun. And I actually think the way they brought her into a platform fighter, she literally has like word bubbles and her attacks are like words. It's cool.
Yeah. She's a support, right? Like, that's which
she's,
is unique too.
She's a range support, yeah.
Yeah, if that's what you want to call her, but yeah. I
mean,
that's
she threatens a lot of the screen from very far away.
Oh.
Min.
It's
her, yeah.
I don't know.
LeBron mains rise up. Let's go.
Let's go.
I will say LeBron is one of the funnest characters playing the game. Do you like technical combo type characters?
I've said that.
Dude, he's hard.
Oh, wait, hold on.
He's very hard.
I've said that on the podcast, right? That was one of my guys that I wanted in Smash forever. Since Brawl, I was like, bro, they should put LeBron in. Like, just say it's an NBA 2K tie-in. Call it a day. Like, put LeBron in. He's been my guy forever. And then he did Multiverses. Like, wait.
Way they implemented it, it's like the Toon Squad one from Space Jam or whatever. Yeah. So it's cool.
No, it's the real LeBron. He's got the cowboy outfit. It's over.
The skins are cool. But yeah, the technical part is you have basketballs and you bounce them around. You can bounce them vertically and there's a bunch of different. Yeah. I wouldn't say it's like an item, but it's you're setting up something that has a hitbox and you try to go off of it.
I asked Coney who I should main, and he said to start just pick Shaggy so you learn the game. I was like, but I really want to play LeBron. He's like, you think of him kind of like like bananas with Diddy or whatever. Like that's kind of what the, so I was like, oh shit.
You're multitasking. You're keeping, y'all, you're trying to control
selling Gavin. Look at,
oh no,
face.
Oh no, I know. That was not the point of that comment. I'm just saying.
That is what Coney said though.
Yes. Anyway,
I haven't even tried Rivals 2. Like, it's just, life is moving too fast. Calm down.
That game, I was playing this beta weekend. Golly.
I saw Ross's clips. That game looks clean, man. That guy can play any game.
Yeah, he can.
Yeah.
Ross Floyd is a very good gamer.
Floyd and Ross are just demons.
Yeah. Just pick it up. Yeah, bro, you just do this. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, how do you even know that? Like,
they be picking up and going.
I hate when there's so many Smash I'll talk about. I'm like, yeah, I just got into this. And like, yeah, I go to tournaments for that sometimes. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I picked this up a week ago on Masters.
Yeah, I'm the best in the world at that.
Smashers are good gamers is what I'll say about us as a collective. Like, if it's not, like, even if, like, you know, you're not an amazing player at Smash, like, you do well enough at locals or regionals, like, you're probably really nice at other things.
It's crazy. Intimidating.
It's a competitive field, bro.
Yeah, but I guess that about wraps it up. We're going to be recording Patreon content at MomoCon. Charles, or usually whoever's around, sometimes records some of my offline sets as well. That's been a thing on the Patreon if you're interested in that.
Those are the best. You get to see the offline hype and grime.
Some of my Genesis matches are on there, which is cool. The most recent Genesis. And I hope everyone has a good one. And thank you so much.
See ya.